All right, we're going to get started on the last part of the read. And I have a passion for these guys, these women. The first poet we're going to have to read, I really like this guy. I just think he's a good poet, and I think that I just think he's got something going on. Thaddeus, come on up here, my man.
Hello. It's quite an uneven distribution here tonight. There's hardly anybody over here. This first poem is just a fragment, I think. I think it'll turn into something else, but I just want to try it out. It's called Celestial Rose. As for the way it was and how inclination gestured toward the exits, the entrances to which stood open, a shaft of obsidian through which warbled. Corpses were being carried through consumable vistas by an unending wind, or Abba, the virgin born of the virgin. For those of you not up on your Greek pantheon of gods, Asclepius was, I believe, the Greek god of medicine and philosophy, probably among other things. This is called Asclepius Sat Down with the Symbols. Asclepius sat down with the symbols and forgot his limbs. If he had had a shape, this too became irrelevant, as sense data was eclipsed by void and sound, sound and its attendant geometries. A translation was occurring between a chain of images and the muteness of his wonder. And as his wonder matured, so too the void deepened. The geometries, which had initially charmed him, settled to a faint circle of sand trembling on a drum skin. Then Asclepius could not find himself anywhere, limbed or limbless. He knew from his absent gazing outward that he was not a reflection and could not fit into any shape he could imagine. The space in which his limbs wiggled was the same space in which sounds and shapes floated, was the same space in which the sun spiraled into an unseeable hole, and even this space he knew he was not. Even this he perceived as shadow.
Okay, thank you. All right, our next reader, and all you guys, keep in mind now, it's two short poems or one long one. Okay, kind of a, yeah, look, we're not the police Nazis up here, the poetry Nazis, but.
Of course we are.
Now everybody's going to read some poems, but because, you know, the last poet. It's not fair to the last part. Danielle, come on up here. All right. Oh, thank you.
I'm going to stand. Hey, Jim, you're very lucky. I only have one short poem. And it's actually online. It's on the Susquehanna Review, but I'm a huge procrastinist, so I just wrote it in this book I got from the library. It's called Healing Stones. After I was born, my mother courted bridges, wrapped her blue vein legs around their guardrails. Then the witches came and told her crystals were good for replacing what children took. Today, I found an egg of rose-kissed quartz among the naked branches of her favorite tree. Like dragon skin, it burned cold into my twisted, barkless fingers. I waited to hear the hum of lace wings, the clicks of a spine unfurling, of gold talons scratching from the inside of the blushing crystal. The cicadas cried, their skeletons abandoned to waste away amid the highest boughs. My mother scattered broken seashells at the roots, and they glowed in the glowing dark, in the growing darkness, pale white and jagged like crushed teeth.
Sarah, where are you at? Come on up here.
Thank you. There is a spot on the Hoover Dam where you can stand with one foot in Arizona and one foot in Nevada at the same time. I have stood in that spot, stared out into the abyss, and realized that I am a quantum object, a woman with the ability to be in two places at once, one foot in heaven and one foot in hell. And they call this spot motherhood. The day my son was born, my body tore in every direction. The pain radiated directly from the tips of my fingers to my butthole. And I don't even know how this is possible, except it's science. And science said I was going to die because no one survives this. Moments later, our eyes meet for the very first time. His lips form this tiny heart that makes mine smile. Birth is the only spiritual moment I've ever had. Pain turns to bliss instantly. There are moments in motherhood where everything goes wrong, and I have to tell myself to slow down and memorize this. Memorize this. My son Henry, 2 years old, toddles over to me, takes my hand in his, and tells me he loves me for the very first time. 5 minutes later, I'm cleaning shit off the mini blinds. For those of you with no children, I mean actual shit. Memorize this. My daughter, Charlotte, 5 years old, reads the original Frankenstein cover to cover. Her eyelashes bat at all the scary parts. She spends the next 8 weeks lying diagonally in my queen-size bed because she says she doesn't want to sleep with a monster. Little does she know, after 3 nights without sleep, she is sleeping with a monster. Memorize this. My son Winston, 10 years old, dedicates his first clarinet solo to a single mom. My eyes well, my heart swell, and I remember that this moment I will relive in 20 years in a crowded room full of people. Later that night, I uncover a Google search on his laptop for big boobs. Motherhood is shit and piss and vomit and birthdays and smiles and endless. Endless heaven and endless hell. And every day I wake up with one foot on each side and I tell myself how lucky I am. But what the fuck is that smell? Thank you.
Was that short or long?
Thank you. How can you memorize stuff? That's incredible. I can't remember what I had for breakfast. Well, Aaron, where you at? Aaron, you're somewhere. Oh, come on, Aaron.
This poem is called Ephemera, and one note, an Iridopsis is a genus of moth that can be found in boreal forests. An Iridopsis passing by invents me, places me atop this stone that jogs a glacial river. She alone is real, and I her thought, the dry remembrance of her complex eye that now is turning, where cannot be known. Stay, stay. If you go, I am gone. or else I close my eyes. It's I who make the moth that with such trust settles beside me. Does she, too, implore my whimsy for a moment more? Bubbles spin from froth to froth, and glaciers grind mountains to dust.
My next poet is Keith Moore.
Moses.
Keith Moses.
Say the last name.
Moses. Keith Moses.
Moses. Oh, I'm sorry.
If I project, you think you'll get me?
Yeah.
Try to hit the mic.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. No snitching. Dad is gone, but she do this on her own. So yeah, Ma could use a help in the home, but ain't no choice but for her to be strong. See, for her baby, she's got to keep it going. She wants her daughter to get off of this block. Every day she hears about somebody getting shot. And like, what good is a neighborhood watch if when something happens, nobody ever talk? Her baby's all she got and her baby all she need. And she gonna help her baby to fulfill every dream. Everything her baby want, her baby gonna receive. Her baby gonna see places mama had never see. So she's working hard for that future tuition. 60 hours a week, mama's relentless. Saving every dollar, mama is penny pinching. Cause she wants so much for her little princess. Couple more months, she'll have that down payment on that house she's moving out. So patient, but for now, her daughter is outside playing, jump roping outside on the pavement. All of a sudden, there's a loud tire screech within ears reach. A car's flying down the street. Now the crowd gets to moving, everybody start to running. Mama run out the door, she knowing what's coming. Her daughter's looking at the car, but she's not aware that a drive-by shooting's about to go down here. See, a couple weeks ago, some dudes poured Hennessy. They man got killed, and now they riding on their enemies. They got that target, start to shooting, but then this little girl comes within view, and it's too late because the bullet is already out, and now her little body is falling down. Mama heard the shots ringing. She's screaming, called 911, a dead body, she's clinging. Police show up and they're looking for a witness, but guess what? Ain't nobody here see shit. Nobody's cooperating with authorities, and this is exactly where this whole story leaves. No witnesses, and of course no suspects, because with cooperation, next comes threats. They say, yo, keep us a cold to these streets, but how many killers gonna roam in these streets when Biggie killer not found, Tupac killer not found, same OBS when this here goes down. They say with a cold with the cops, there's no talking, but tell that to that lady in them projects, to Miss Shakur and to Miss Wallace, and just think, y'all, if it was your lost kid. No snitching. Thank you.
And go. It starts off with a quote from Tom Waits, which is, they all start off with good intentions. Happy thoughts. The future is mine for the taking. The night is mine. The dreams are endless. Even the roughest gravel dreams to be smooth, flawless, gentle. Then life. In the infinite battering ram of chaos theory, storms, floods, highlighting the strobes of smoldering fires on burned down dream houses. A medical condition deteriorates her possibilities, the life fuck of poverty, misfortune. She started off with hope, drive, and future. By 18, the ravages of men took a toll. The nights were not safe. The days dragged misery and sleep in the eyes. The joy was dimmed like a yellow highlighter, abused, overused, corrupted with ink, now diminished, walking crooked and trying to eat just enough calories to stay moving. Jobs that last until the manager wants to fuck her, grab her ass, fire her for not giving a blowjob. Alcohol is honest. Always consistent. The places it takes you are the same. There is comfort in a pain you cause yourself.